Again, I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, reading from the 15th chapter. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And Jesus' disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O Holy God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gift of your holy word. And we thank you now for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. It's probably obvious to all of us that we are living in troubled times. We're living in troubled times. It seems that we can't go even a couple of days without hearing a news story about how we are divided as a nation or what great violence is happening around the world. We're threatened by North Korea for military action, where there's escalating tensions between nations, powerful nations around the world. A terrorist attack in Barcelona, Spain, sees a van running over pedestrians on a busy street, and 14 lives are taken and hundreds are injured. Police officers doing their duty are ambushed, and in Florida, two are killed, more are injured, and two of our own state police in Pennsylvania were injured on Friday evening. Free speech demonstrations end in violent protests. We are living in troubled times. We are living in difficult times and challenging times. But the scriptures remind us over and over again that God is a God of mercy and that God longs for human reconciliation. God truly longs for us to live together in unity. It seems these days that there's little respect for human life and even less examples of moral decency. So we go to the scriptures to hear what it is that God would speak to us today. And the Old Testament lesson that Jean read is a story of reconciliation. It's the end of the Joseph cycle in the book of Genesis. Now, probably many of you know this story. Joseph is the favorite son of Jacob because he's the son of his most loved wife, Rachel. And so the father shows how much he loves his son by dressing him differently than the other brothers, giving him a wonderful coat with many colors and long sleeves. And as if that weren't enough to get the goat of his older brothers, this young Joseph is a dreamer. He's a dreamer that has dreams that would show his older brothers kneeling down and worshiping him, kneeling before him. And it's not bad enough that he has these dreams. He lauds it over his brothers. He's quick to tell them his dreams and tells them what he thinks it means. Well, one day, this has finally gotten to be enough for the older brothers. And if you know the story, you know that they're out to get rid of him. They decide that they're going to kill him, get rid of this troublemaker once and for all. But then a cooler mind prevails, and Joseph isn't murdered. He's not simply thrown into a pit. But that beautiful coat is ripped in pieces, dipped in goat blood, and the message to Father Jacob is that Joseph is gone. Joseph is gone for good. But if you know that story, you know that he's gone, but he's truly not gone for good. He's been sold off to some traveling Ishmaelites, and he ends up in Egypt, where decades later, after some misadventures, after some time in jail, after some dreams are interpreted, he becomes Pharaoh's right-hand person. He has gotten himself into a place of privilege, which gets us to today's scripture lesson. There's a great famine in the land, and Joseph's brothers are all still back in Canaan, where the famine is taking its toll, and they have learned that there's food in Egypt. So they make that trek there in order to be fed, and they do find food. And unbeknownst to them, they discover their brother as well, their brother Joseph. Again, they kneel down to Joseph. They don't recognize him. They see him as some Egyptian powerful person. And so those dreams of Joseph have come true. But if you listen closely to that story, the surprising thing is that Joseph doesn't say to his brothers, "I told you so. I told you one day this would happen." He doesn't take revenge on them for what they did to him. It's not an eye for an eye justice. It's reconciliation. Joseph weeps. Joseph weeps, and Joseph is overjoyed that he has this opportunity to be back with his family. Things have gone well for Joseph, but there's always that piece that was missing. And now the family has come together, and there's great rejoicing. Joseph even says to the brothers, "It was not you who sent me here, but God. It was not you who sent me here, but God." God's mercy has been a part of this story from the very beginning, just as God's mercy is a part of all of our stories. Sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we miss God's mercy, especially when we're living in troubling times. But throughout the scriptures, we hear that God can take a curse and turn it into a blessing, that God is able to use Joseph not just for his own good, not for Pharaoh's good, not for Egypt's good, but for everyone's good. God's mercy through Joseph was for one and all. We hear that throughout our scriptures. The prophet Jeremiah, speaking to a people who have been carted off into exile, reminds them, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." They were a hopeless people who could not see God's mercy at work. And the prophet reminds them that God's plan is always for their welfare and not for harm. Centuries later, Paul, writing to the Romans, puts it this way: "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purposes." All things work together for good. God truly is able to turn around even the most horrible events to work for his children's good. It might take a lifetime. We might not see it. We might have a hard time realizing it. But God's plan is a plan of mercy and love, grace and reconciliation, not violence, not revenge, not hatred, and not grudges. Yet reconciliation seems to be so difficult. It's easier to take sides and to dig our heels in. It's easier to build up walls of resentment, never able to see the other side. Yet throughout the ages, God's compassion and mercy has longed for community, longed for unity, longed for us to be one in Christ, reconciled to God through the very blood of his Son Christ, and reconciled to one another through that great love as well. The psalm that we read responsibly has this wonderful line: "Behold how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity." Behold how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. The gospel message is also from Matthew this morning, a story of mercy, of compassion, and of community, and of reconciliation. It takes a little while for us to get there, but it's an interesting little story about a woman who is not at all like Jesus. In fact, she has three strikes against her. She's the wrong gender, she's the wrong religion, and she's the wrong nationality. Yet she recognizes in Jesus who he is. She calls him Son of David. She probably has heard of his healing. Perhaps the compassion that he showed on those crowds when he fed the 5,000, perhaps that story has reached into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Christ has gone there probably to get away from the crowds for a little bit. And here this stranger, this woman who is considered a pagan, someone who's not accepted, recognizes Jesus and comes to him for help. Jesus in this story is very human and very much a product of his time. At first, he ignores her. He does not speak to her, which would be typical of a Jewish male. They would not speak to a woman. And then the disciples are so irritated that they come to Jesus and they want Jesus just to send her away. And then Jesus is very clear. When he first speaks in this story, he reminds the reader, reminds all of us, that he's been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And what you read into that is that he's not been sent to someone like the Canaanite woman. Yet she's persistent, isn't she? She keeps on. Nothing stops her. She speaks up and she speaks out to have healing for her demon-possessed daughter. There's that conversation about crumbs and dogs. And you need to know that in Jesus' day, Israelites would call Canaanite pagan dogs. So Jesus, being a product of his time, uses language that the disciples would have been very familiar with. But she doesn't take that as an insult. She takes that as a reason to come back at Jesus because her faith is strong and she knows that he can have mercy. She knows that he offers compassion. She knows that he can heal her daughter. And so she comes back to Jesus with her retort. And we know what happens. She gets what she wants. She gets what she needs. Jesus heals her daughter. And Jesus says, "Your faith is strong. Your faith is strong." Because she dares to speak up and she dares to speak out. She's not quiet. She knows what she needs and she knows that she can get it from Jesus. We don't know how community is restored through that story, but we do know that by the end of Matthew's gospel, the resurrected Christ says to the disciples, "Go into all the world." The good news is no longer just for the Israelites. The good news is for all people. That sense of reconciliation, that sense of being saved, is not just for one small group. It's for the world. It's for the world. God's mercy and human reconciliation happens through a very simple story of a Canaanite woman speaking up and speaking out. That's true about God's love and God's mercy, God's compassion. It's never limited to just one congregation, one community, one mindset, one political party, one nation. God's compassion is for one and all, and God still yearns for us to be one. To be one in Christ. God still wants us to live together in unity. This past week, there's been much debate about the protest in Charlottesville, Virginia. Much of what happened a week ago Saturday is disturbing. Regardless of your political persuasion, regardless of how you feel about President Trump, whether you support the right or the left, as Christians, we should be speaking out against the violence. We should be stopping the hate language. And we too should stand up and speak out against evil. In our baptism ritual and in our membership vows, we answer this question. We pledge to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin. And we answer, "I do." And then we're asked, "Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?" And again, we answer, "I do." But are they just nice words that we give our assent to? Words that we never intend to live out? Where is our sense of commitment? Where is our commitment to resist evil? Where is our commitment to work for love and not hate? Where is our commitment to stand up against violence, against racism, against fascism and anarchy, against oppression? Where is our commitment to peace and justice and human reconciliation? For too many of us, we've given in and we've given up when we are confronted by injustice. Apathy is the problem with Christians today. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to a church where that's an issue, the church in Laodicea. And he says, "You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm, and so I'm going to spit you out. I'm going to spit you out." We tend not to take a stand. We tend not to stand up. We tend not to speak out. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, at the midst of the rise of Hitler and his own brand of nationalism, wrote this: "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act." We all should be heartsick about what's been happening in our country and around the world, and we can't sit quietly by and just hope it will go away or hope that it will get better. As I said to the children this morning, we need to watch what we say. We need to be careful of how we speak. What we say, does it promote love or does it promote hate? Does it build someone up or does it tear them down? Does it work for reconciliation or does it further divide us? We as Christians need to stand up against evil and oppression in whatever form we find it. Bishop Jeremiah Parks, who's our bishop, sent out a letter to the churches yesterday. And in closing, I just want to read part of what Bishop Park wrote. "Grace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Prince of Peace, healer of our brokenness, and hope of the world. In recent days, we have witnessed once again a horrible manifestation of the presence and power of evil in this world. Our hearts are broken as we hear about the violent death of Miss Heather Heyer, a victim of domestic terrorism, and the tragic death of two police officers, Lieutenant Pilot Jay Cullen and Trooper Pilot Burke Bates, in the midst of public service for the safety of the people present in the clash in Charlottesville, Virginia. I urge the pastors and congregations of the Susquehanna Conference first and foremost to pray for comfort and healing of the families and friends who lost their loved ones and of those who suffered injuries in this horrific act of terror. I also ask you to uplift our nation in prayer this Sunday for God's spirit of truth, love, and justice to prevail, and that our leaders seek God's righteousness to lead our country to shalom for all. Please pray also for the transformation of the hearts and minds of the people who represented racial hatred in the clash. It is so troubling that in our country we continue to witness the hatred and disregard for all of humanity that was displayed in Charlottesville. We all should find it alarming and disheartening that there seems to be a growing climate that induces such blatant racism. It is also deeply troubling that far too often those individuals who espouse hatred towards persons who look different than them suggest that they are doing so in the name of Christianity. I hear Jesus weep. Racial hatred and bigotry are never in the will of God and have no place in the kingdom of God. We need to be ever more determined for such a time as this to continue to proclaim the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God, pursue its vision, and demonstrate its values by our prophetic voice and witness for racial justice and reconciliation with intention and integrity as we continue to commit ourselves to work on racial relations in our community and beyond. Let's be reminded that our country was founded on the mandate of E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. We are to be one out of diversity and difference. It is the foundational identity and irreversible destiny of our nation. It's also the biblical vision of God's future for the human race. No matter what difference we may represent, all are to be honored for who they are with respect and dignity as children of a loving God. Difference is never to be a cause for discrimination and marginalization. Any ideology that justifies racism and promotes hate, fear, and violence is wrong and must be confronted, challenged, and defeated." Bishop Park goes on to quote a hymn. You, Creator God, have written your great name on humankind. For our growing in your likeness, bring the life of Christ to mind, that by our response and service, earth its destiny may find. Earth its destiny may find. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so. May we speak up, and may we speak out. May we truly live into our baptism and membership vows to resist evil and oppression in whatever forms they may take. Amen.